All right, if you have your Bibles, we are in the book of James, and I'm going to read just a little bit here in James today, and then after that, we will go to the book of Romans, and this is what I'm planning anyway. Sometimes what I plan and what the Spirit of God plans are two different things, so we'll see what happens. But in this fourth chapter of James, and probably to pick up the context, let's go back to the 13th verse of the third chapter. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?" In other words, is there anyone saved who really understands the truth, and you really, you have knowledge so that you can rightly divide the word of truth among you? And he's writing to Jews of the diaspora. And in the Old Testament, we saw in the book of Psalms how that wisdom or being wise speaks of salvation. So he says that out of a good matter of life or conversation, show out of his works with meekness or humility and wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This was very common amongst the Jews. That, remember the seventh chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus said, "For while you reject the commandments of God in order to keep the traditions of men." And the Jews had come to Jesus and asked him the question, "Why do your disciples refuse to keep the traditions of the elders?" Well, those traditions were not the law. The traditions were man-made rules that made them think that they were keeping the law. And we've been trying to emphasize, because there's so much confusion about this book, that this book was not written to save people. It was written to unsaved people, to bring them to Christ. So he speaks of their wisdom then in verse 13, where he says, "This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish," or demonic. Demon is the word that's used. So the Jews' whole system of worship was not a system of worship from God, even though they were God's chosen people. Now, I wrote in my Christmas bulletin, which you have there, you can read it today sometime, maybe you've read it already. But the point is this, when God chose Israel to be his chosen people, he had to choose someone. See? And of course, he had a covenant relationship with Abraham, and out of the seed of Abraham, the seed of Abraham is singular, Christ would come. And so the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. And so as we come down the line, we see the seed again and again and again. And over in the book of Galatians, Paul says of Romans, when he spoke of Abraham's seed, not seeds as of many or plural, but of one. And thy seed, which is Christ. So, I pointed this out in my Christmas bulletin, that no matter what race of people God chose, and he happened to choose the Jews. Okay, so no matter what race of people God would have chosen, the rest of the world would end up hating those people. Yeah. So why is there so much anti-Semitism in the world? Because the Jews are called God's chosen people, and man's looking for merit, and there's no merit in our relationship with God. That's pretty plain. But he had to choose someone, because God had to become a man, since he made certain covenant promises to Abraham, which were fulfilled in the days of Moses. He gave them a law, but they couldn't keep it. And You can't keep it, I can't keep it. Why? Because God was trying to establish our guilt, you know, the guilt of the nation of Israel. So along with the giving of the law, he gave the pattern of the tabernacle and the sacrificial system. Now, there were sacrifices before that, but the structure was changed somewhat so that it was the high priest that made the sacrifices, and the high priest represented the Lord Jesus Christ. So God was unfolding his drama or his history of redemption, how he was going to bring it into the world. You know? And it's important for us to realize that there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So if we would just think about that, no matter who God chose, you know, to be the nation through whom the Christ would come into the world, you know, why does the world hate Israel? For no other reason than that they're God's chosen people. And they expect God's chosen people to be exceptional. You know, there must be something about them that's really special. No, there's nothing special about them. You know, they're just like we are. Okay? There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So then he goes on. So he says for in verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that's from above, or salvation that came from the Lord, is pure, is peaceable, is gentle, and it's easy to be entreated. Now think about that. What did Jesus say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Yeah. All that you have to do is believe. Believe what God has said. Yeah. And when we go back to the Old Testament scriptures, we see all of the truths of the New Testament in the Old Testament, but they're hidden in shadows and in types, in allegories, and, you know, in mystery form. But they're all there. So from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, there is one gospel. And that gospel is predicated upon the fact there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not, but God created man perfectly. He created him in his image. He created him in his likeness. But then the Eve, you know, God saw that he had made mates for all of the other animals, and all the birds and all the fish, they all had mates. But Adam didn't have a mate, so he took a rib from Adam's side and made a woman. And so the first woman came from man, and since then all women have come from, or all men, everybody, women and children, have come by natural propagation through birth. So we're all born dead in trespasses and sin because our parents, Adam and Eve, sinned. And we're charged with Adam's sin. Let me read one verse in Romans chapter 6. And verse 23, and then I'll take you back to the fourth chapter after that. So in the sixth chapter of Romans, it says in verse 23, for the wages of what? Sin. It says sin. But if we can read it in Greek, for the wages of the sin. So now we're getting down to what did God say to Adam? He said, the day thou eatest thereof, what? Dying, thou shalt die. It's not translated that way. Thou shalt surely die is the way it's translated. But in the Hebrew, it's dying, thou shalt die. So we begin to die physically the moment we're born. And we call it aging. You know? And death can come at any time in that cycle. You know, it's dependent upon, you know, what the Lord has for us. So, the wages of the sin is death. So, it's not the wages of sinning is death. It's the wages of Adam's sin that brought death into the world. Now, I want to take you from that to, and I'm going to read this in my Greek New Testament, but it's transliterated into English, and then I'm going to supply what the translators didn't supply, and it's not going to read exactly the way, but you can follow along, okay? You'll see that what we're saying is true. Now, okay, let's see. It was in the fifth chapter that we introduced sin, so let's come just before the beginning of the sixth chapter. Now, verse 20 says, but law came in by the by. Now, by the by is an old term. We would say by and by. You know. In fact, there's a song in the sweet by and by, or in the past, okay? So, there was a point of time when sin came into the world. Okay, but the law came by and by that might abound the offense. So law was given so that the offense of man would be seen. Why? Because the scripture says, where there's no law, there's what? There's no transgression. See, if there's not a law to prevent you from doing something, you can't be charged with breaking the law. Despite what the Democrats have been trying to do for weeks and weeks and weeks, wasting lots and lots of money, you know, and refusing to do what they are supposed to do. They're not supposed to try to get rid of the president. They're supposed to legislate, you know, and that's supposed to be for the benefit of us. But we can see that, it's very... let's put it this way. It's very lucrative to be in a high political position. And, and you can find, like with Biden, you know, there was quid pro quo with Biden, something for something. And if you don't quit investigating my son, you're not going to get any help. Okay? But that seems to be okay if you're a Democrat. But it's the unpardonable sin if you're Trump. You know. And they've been trying to prove that there was quid quo pro when there was no quid quo pro. I'm not trying to make something out of Trump that he's just this glorious, wonderful person that never did anything wrong in his life. No, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But so far, the Democrats have been working for 2.5, nearly 3 years, to try to find something on Trump, and they haven't been able to find it. It's time to give up. But when it comes to man, it says, but law came in verse 20, in the by and by, that might abound the offense. So, in other words, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So in order to prove this, God had to give the nation of Israel a law. And where there is no law, there's no transgression. But where there is a law and God gave it to Israel, then we all see ourselves what? Lawbreakers. Sinners. And so he says, but then when that happened, overabounded the grace. The definite article is from grace, in front of grace. It's a specific grace that you and I, though sinners, can before God stand in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. When you think about that, there's no greater gift. That has reigned the sin. So the sin, or the concept that you can be like God, has reigned ever since Eve was deceived and Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you can see from me reading this that the translators left out the definite article. You know, they just say sin. So that as reigned the sin in death, or as death reigned in the sin, so also my grace reign through righteousness to life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's a parallel. If one man can plunge the world into sin, then one man in Jesus Christ can remove the world from sin. So as in Adam, as Paul put it, as in Adam all die, so in Christ, all that are in Christ are made alive. See, that's the gospel. That's the good news. And it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. It's a matter of grace. So as we go into the sixth chapter then, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin that grace may abound? Now, we've been given this concept that we can be like God, so shall we continue in this, making ourselves think that we're like God by our understanding of right and wrong, just so grace can abound? It doesn't make much sense, does it? So he says, may it not be, or may it never be. We who died, you know, what did we die to? When Christ died, we died. God, you know, judicially counts us to have died with Christ. And what did we die to? We died to the sin, or a concept that we can be like God by knowing the difference between right and wrong. Okay. That's why we're saved by grace. And what happens under the canopy of Christianity? Under the canopy of Christianity, and this is what James is trying to show, the Jews couldn't be justified by law, and we can't be justified by law. All the law can do is condemn. Okay. But just leave out a definite article here, a definite article there, and get the concept that we can be really something special, and you blow the whole truth of the gospel for the lie of the devil. Okay? So he says, may it not be. We who died to be sin, how shall we live in it? Now, if we're put to death to something, then does it make any sense for us as believers in Jesus Christ to try to glorify God by the lives that we live? You know, that's what is preached under the canopy of Christianity. That's not the gospel. That's human effort. That's glorifying man in some sense to try to glorify God. And we certainly can't glorify God. The only way we glorify God is to believe Him. Okay? So he goes on to say, may it not be, we who died to thee sin, how shall we live in it? In other words, it makes no sense to try to justify ourselves by our lives. Or are you ignorant that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we're baptized into his death. Now, we're not talking about water baptism. If you go back in 1 John and throughout the scriptures, God counts it this way. If in the present tense you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, then in the past tense, when Christ died, you know, and it's in the subjunctive mood because you might not do it in the present tense, and if you don't do it in the present tense, then it didn't happen in the past tense. See, that's what it means. So if we confess Christ as Lord, then when Christ died, we died. When Christ was buried, we were buried. And when Christ arose from the dead in the judicial reckoning of God, we arose with him. That's pretty amazing. See? And that's why, as in Adam, all die, so in Christ, or all who are in Christ, are made alive. Okay. There's only one way. It eliminates religion. Okay. And yet, all of the denominations, or virtually all of the denominations, under the canopy of Christianity over time, have allowed the lie of the devil, remember, in Proverbs it says there's a way which seemeth right unto a man. What seems right to man? Well, if you live a good life, then you go to heaven. And if you're particularly bad, then you go to hell. See? And that isn't that what the devil said to Eve? Sure. Elohim doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, or God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be like the gods, or you'll be as God, knowing good and evil. Okay. Can any of us be made like God by disobeying God? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Okay. But that was the lie of the devil, and Eve fell for it, and she ate of the tree. And when she ate of the tree, Adam loved her. So in that sense, according to the fifth chapter of Romans, when she sinned, he sinned. Well, that's a type. When we sinned, Adam, or the Lord Jesus Christ, took our sins upon himself as if he had committed them, but he never sinned. So he paid the price for our sins. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That makes perfect sense. But the translators left out a few very important, 30 in the from the 5th chapter to the 8th chapter in Romans, 30 definite articles before the noun sin. So sin is in the singular. It's Adam's sin, the sin. And they left out that definite article, and as a consequence, you can make it mean anything, everything, and nothing. You know? And that's sad. So he goes on to say, or are ye ignorant that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus, when Christ died, God counts us to have died with him. That's the baptism he's talking about. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in the omniscience of God, there's no such thing as tense. You know, we live in the present. We live. We can think in the past. But with God, when Christ died, we died. So that when salvation comes to us at a point in time, God counts us to have died with Christ, to have been buried with Christ, and to have arisen with Christ to walk out. In newness of life. What's the newness of life? The just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. But we find most of Christianity trying to justify itself by the life that it lives. Now, I have no problem whatsoever with good behavior over bad behavior. You know, it's always better to have good behavior than bad behavior. But if you think you're going to get to heaven by your behavior, you've fallen for the lie of the devil. Okay. So, there's nothing wrong with good behavior as long as we keep it in its right place with its right perspective. But if we think we can be right before God because of our behavior, then we've fallen for the lie of the devil. And we're not going to get what we think we're going to get. It's amazing how when people die, they're always in a better place. And if you happen to be a golfer like, I can't think of his name right now, but he won a golf tournament. It was coming down the 18th hole, and all of a sudden the sun was shining through the clouds, and Dad was up there helping him. there's so much superstition in this world. It is amazing how, and athletes, I think, above all, are some of the most superstitious people in the world. And so this shot that's usually been difficult for me, boy, I hit it perfect. Davis Love, is the individual doctor, not doctor, but golfer, I was thinking of. Okay. So he says, or are ye ignorant? As many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into the death of him. Or we were baptized into the death of him. I left out a part of this in Greek. In Greek, the words don't come in the same way, order that they come in Greek, in English. We have to have, the noun first, and then the verb, and then the object of the verb. And if we reverse the order like we do over in 1 Corinthians, a statement can sound like a question. So we have to put in a particular order, but in a conjugated language, you don't. Okay. So, it says, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into the death of him, that as he was raised up, or as was Christ raised up from among the dead or out of the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we in newness of life should walk. What's the newness of life? The just shall live by faith. And then he goes on to say here, for if conjoined, we have become in the likeness of his death. So God counts it that when he died, we died. That's basically the word conjoined. So also of the resurrection we shall be. Now, we know that we're going to be raised from the dead. I know that Joanne is presently in the presence of God. Because God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the night before he was crucified, said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am there, you may be also. And they translated, unfortunately, in my Father's house are many mansions. Now, he went to prepare a body for us to dwell in until the day of the resurrection. So we're never disembodied. So when Paul was stoned at Lystra on his first missionary journey, and he talks about it in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. In other words, he couldn't tell any difference whether he was still in the dump in the grave or, you know, dragged out from the dump to rot, or whether he was in the presence of a God in heaven. It happened so quickly, so smoothly. See? So, at when Joanne died at 9:23, officially 9:55 is what being on her death certificate, but she died at 9:23, you know. And when on the 6th of this month, when she died, she was instantly, just like Paul was in the 14th chapter of 2 Corinthians, or 12th chapter, she was instantly in the presence of God. She instantly saw Norma and Bill and Bill Tate and all in this church who've gone on before. My mother was there. All believers, her dad was there. People who had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ in their life were there. So it's like that poem I put on her, and I'll use it when I do her memorial service. There's a ship, and we see a ship as it leaves. And because the earth is round, the last thing we see is the mast and sails go over the horizon. And we say, there she goes. But on the other side, you know, as it passes out of our sight over the horizon, it comes into sight to those on the other side, and they say, here she comes. You know? And they knew the exact date of her death because the Lord told them. And they're all waiting to see her. It's a marvelous thing. But, while we're sorrowing, they're rejoicing. And the Scripture tells us that. There's rejoicing in heaven over the death of a saint. Now, Joanne wasn't a saint because she was a good person, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no such thing as a good person other than Jesus Christ, and he's God who became man. But we don't go to heaven because of being good. We go to heaven because Christ stood in our stead in life and stood in our stead in death, and we're counted to have died with him, been buried with him, and raised with him. And so we have sadness because someone very dear to us leaves us. But it's really no different than years ago when I used to work some horrendous hours. On any given day, I might work 8 hours or I might work 21 hours. Yeah, it was crazy. But Joanne was always there to take care of the kids and keep a home and have dinner on time and so forth. I can remember after the Big Lake fire, and that time from I had worked all day Saturday, then we didn't have church at that point in time, so we were playing pinochle with our neighbors across the street at 2 o'clock in the morning when I got a call from my boss, Les Smith. And he said, Dale, I want you to go up to Big Lake and put in a radio system because the Forest Service doesn't have communications. I said, Les, I haven't made the bed yet. Let me get an hour's sleep. You know? So I got an hour's sleep. Then I went into the shop, loaded up the radios and things that we needed, loaded up some equipment we needed. Then I had to go to Corvallis because we didn't have a phone patch at the shop in Eugene, and we were putting in a common carrier in Corvallis, but it wasn't on the air yet. So I went to Corvallis and got the everything for the for the interconnected telephone. Then I headed up, out through Sile and on up onto the North Santa Am, and then up along Halls Ridge. And by 10 o'clock in the morning, we had a system operating. And that happened to be a microwave site for the telephone company. So we took one of the Corps of Engineer guys with us so he could be the operator. make the dial the call number and make the connection to the radio. And showed him how to do it. Then we left. When he ate his lunch, unfortunately, he bit into a sandwich and a bee stung him inside the mouth, and they had to come and get him and put somebody else there. Yeah, he had a terrible allergic reaction. Yeah, and then I went down, and Pete Keeley was with me, and we went to the various forest camps. He had a truck, so he could go to one site. I had my van. I'd go to another site. And for the rest of the day, then we put radios in Forest Service trucks. And it was along about, the sun was still up, but it was summertime, so it didn't get late. Sun didn't really go down until about 10 o'clock then. So it was about 9 o'clock as I headed down I-5. I was looking right directly into the sun. After a little bit, I had to get out of that truck and walk around the van a few times just to get some more oxygen and then get back in. Come on in. I got home. Joanne said, are you hungry? And I said, yes, I am. So she went in the kitchen to fix me something to eat, and I had collapsed on the bed. How she got my boots off and my clothes off and got me in that bed, I'll never know, but she did. and the supper, I don't know what she did, but the supper she fixed for me. But, while she was fixing it, I finally just didn't have any poop left. I was all pooped out. Okay. Anyway, let's go back to this. Sometimes in the Greek, we see things that we never see in our English Bible. And so he said, for if conjoined, I read that before, we have become in the likeness of the death of him, so also of the resurrection we shall be. In other words, Christ was raised from the dead, and we have the promise. We died with him, and now we have been buried with him and raised with him. And when he says, come up hither, we will be raised. It's no question. It has nothing to do with our life. He died for us. That's all that's necessary. The payment's been made. And we could never make the payment. So knowing this, that the old man, our old man, was crucified with him. In other words, when Christ was crucified, he was bearing our judgment, and it's as if we were on that cross with him, bearing, our own crimes. But we didn't bear them, he bore them. That we might be, that might be annulled the body of these sins. Now, it's totally ridiculous for us as believers in Jesus Christ ever think that we can glorify God by the lives that we live? The just shall live by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God can only be glorified one way. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And law is what? Not of faith. So the majority of people in the religious systems of the world, all of the people in the religious systems of the world, and many people under the canopy of Christianity, they live lives of trying to glorify God and do things that they, you know, they want to do, or and they still do, but they think somehow or other they're glorifying God. The only way to glorify God is to believe Him. To believe that He died for your sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that we would no longer be subservient to the sin. The sin is the idea that we can be like God by the lives that we live. We have no need whatsoever to be subservient. That word's not in our King James Bible, but that's the one the translator chose here. And that's the meaning of the Greek word. That we should no longer be subservient to the sin. For he that died has been justified from the sin. So when Christ died, we died. So he that died with Christ, that's judicially, we're still alive. So God counted us to have died when he died, and so we're no longer, subservient to the idea that we have to live a quote-unquote holy life so that we can glorify God. The only way you can glorify God is to believe God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Okay. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised up out from among the dead, dies no more. He died once for sin. Okay. But he doesn't have to die again. He died one time for all time. In other words, he took into view every sin committed by every man from the beginning man to the last man and brought in all of the sins of all of them, and they were all placed on him, so they've been paid for. That's not a license to sin, as our so many under the canopy of Christianity, when they want to mock the grace of God, that's what they say. Oh, we sin that grace might abound. I don't know a person that really understands the grace of God that ever thought that way. But that's what we're accused of. And Paul was accused of that, and he says their damnation is just. In other words, they're going to go to hell, and they're going to go to hell justly. That's what he meant. Okay. So, for he that died, and we died with Christ, has been justified from the sin. See? So the wages of the sin is death. We die because of the sin, Adam's sin. We don't die because of personal sin. God may discipline us because of personal sin. The book of Hebrews talks about that. But we die because of Adam's sin. And we're made alive because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He conquered death, therefore we conquered death with Him. See? So he goes on to say, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised up out from among the dead, dies no more. The death of him, or death no longer rules over him. For in that he died unto the sin once. Not multiple things like the Roman Catholic Church. Every time they say the Mass, they crucify Christ again. Christ paid one sacrifice for sin forever. You know, there's so much unbelief practiced under the canopy of Christianity. And when I speak of these things, I don't mean to demean people. And I know that there are many Roman Catholics that despite what the priest does and despite their rituals and despite all the false doctrines, they've heard enough of the gospel to believe it and be saved. And that's virtually true of just about everything under the canopy of Christianity. They may be starving to death and never grow up in the things of the Lord, but they hear enough of the gospel in order to be saved, and we're thankful for that. I just wish more of them would realize they're not getting anything. They'll come someplace where they can. Okay. And that is in no wise boasting ourselves. It's just the fact that God has given us the conviction to study the Word of God verse by verse, you know, book by book, so that we can't bypass anything that's too difficult for us to understand. You know? And there's been times, many times, when I've had a verse before me that I had no idea what it meant. But while I was preaching, God would give me the answer. You know, And it's almost sacrilegious for somebody to come up and compliment me on on pointing out a truth that they never saw before, I never saw before either. You know, the one to be glorified is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's see, we're in this Greek New Testament, it's easy for me to lose my spot. Knowing that Christ, having raised us up out of the dead, dies no more, death no more rules over him, for in that he died to the sin once. See? You know, that's an important verse of Scripture. And he did it for all, once. You know, I left part of it out. But in that he lives unto God. So also ye reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to the sin. The concept that you've got to do something to glorify God by the life that you live. You glorify God by believing Him. You know. And the other stuff is rank unbelief. You know. We need to understand these things. See? So also ye reckon yourselves dead indeed, I left out part of the word. So also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to these sins, or the concept that you can be like God by the life that you live. So, for in that he died unto the sin once for all. But in that he lives unto God. And we'll stop there because our timer just went off. So we'll start at verse 12 again next time, because I think I'm going to go through all of these books, all 30 times that the sin was used, because there's such great truth there that is missed by so many, and we need to see it, and we need to understand what our relationship really is. No one dies because of personal sin. Oh, a man may die in the physical because he murders another man and he's sentenced to death. Sadly, in this country, we do that so rarely anymore. But really, you know, if we, in our flesh, choose to operate in our flesh, then there are consequences for it. We don't have a license to break civil law. We don't have a license to break God's law. But Christ fulfilled God's law on our behalf. And there are consequences in life for breaking civil law. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for the marvelous truth of your word. And we pray that as we view these things, learn these truths, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we may praise Him always, because there's absolutely nothing in us that deserves salvation. But in Your infinite mercy and grace, You chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And for this we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen.